Hey, well, I would like for you to please turn to the Gospel of John. Gospel of John chapter 3 is where we're going to take a look here. There's a great context to where I want to get to. So maybe we'll just read some of these verses. Most of you are very familiar with this section in John chapter 3. There was a man of the Pharisees in verse 1. His name was Nicodemus, and he was a ruler of the Jews, of the Judeans. And the same came to Jesus by night, and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest, except God be with him. You know, just the fact that he came to him by night, it is sort of interesting, the times in which Jesus Christ lived. There's a lot going on in the world today, isn't there? Absolutely. But I'll tell you, the times in which Jesus Christ lived, it was nuts. It was absolutely nuts. He lived where they were occupied by a foreign power, where those who ruled over them could kill them, no problem. He lived during a time where John the Baptist commented on a marriage and they chopped his head off. It's pretty heavy. You know, he lived during a time where these leaders, these Sadducees, these Pharisees, you know, the scribes, all these clowns, they were nothing but political parties. That's what they were. They were just political parties vying for power, trying to make the others look bad. And sometimes they'd form an alliance if it would help. That's the times in which he lived. That's something. So Nicodemus had to come to him by night. And in the middle of all that, it's really remarkable when you look at it and read it, Jesus Christ always spoke what? That's right. He spoke the word. And now he would, he would deal with some of these things from time to time, but it was as he was confronted with it. See? But then he'd move on. You know, the Pharisees, sometimes they'd come and try to trap him. What would he speak? Yeah, isn't that something? It's really remarkable. I just thought of that, you know, the fact that he came to him by night. So he, you know, wouldn't be seen. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born from above, born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said unto him, How can that be? How can he be born a second time? Verse 5, Verily I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he can't enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is what? Flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. See, these are two life forms. One is born of the what? Flesh. The other is born of the what? Spirit. Two life forms. So, don't marvel that I said unto thee, you must be born again. I'm going to read it of a better translation. The Spirit, referring to God, breathes where he wills. And his voice you hear, but you know not from whence he comes or where he goes. So it is with everyone who is born of God. That's something. Because all you can see is the manifestations of that life form, that spirit. Right? Absolutely. Verse 9, Nicodemus answered, and he said unto him, How can these things be? Jesus answered and said unto him, You're a master of Israel, and you don't know these things? Verily, I say unto thee, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak that we do know and testify what we've seen, and you receive not our witness. If I have told you earthly things and you believe not, how shall ye believe if I tell you of heavenly things? Verse 13 is an insertion. Those words were not spoken by Jesus Christ, but verse 14 continues with Jesus Christ and what he was saying. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should have eternal life, is how it should read. Whosoever believeth in him should have eternal life. Okay? This is what he's sharing with Nicodemus, this life form of spirit that had been coming. Nicodemus should have known, but he didn't. Verse 16 is another one of these, they're referred to as practical insertions. The Gospel of John was written after the event. It was written by revelation, but after the event that we just read about. Right? So looking back, you have what's referred to as a practical insertion, or you can look at it as a parenthesis. Okay? These weren't words that were spoken by Jesus Christ, but rather by the writer of the Gospel of John. And I'm going to go out on a limb and say it was John. Okay, verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have what? Everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved or delivered. See, that was the manifestation of God's love, was the giving of his Son, that the world might be saved. The Son wasn't sent into the world to judge the world. The Son was sent into the world so that the world could believe on him and be saved. He that believes on him is not condemned or guilty. But he that believes not is condemned already. It wasn't Jesus Christ that condemned him. He was condemned already. Who was responsible for that?
Adam.
Adam. And so God, in his wonderful love and grace, is making something available whereby men can be released from the condemnation of Adam. Because he hath not believed in the name. And this hath not believed is our words that mean he didn't want to. He didn't want to believe in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, or the justice, or the judgment, is this word, that light is come into the world, and men loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that does, and this word does, it shows up in 1 John 2, it's the lifestyle or practice of. It's what you practice. It's not a simple, an act, or you screw up, or it's the practice. It's what you do. It's what you do for a living. Good, really, it's a good way to understand it. What do you do for a living? I'm evil. That's what it means. Everyone that practices evil hates the light, neither comes to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that does practices what? Truth. Comes to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest that they are wrought in God. See? Isn't that something? For God so loved. See, that loving darkness is complete bondage. It's total bondage. And God has given a way whereby men can be released by that bondage by simply believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't that something? You confess Jesus as Lord, you believe that God raised him from the dead. Done. Done. You're born from above. You got spirit. you're in the kingdom of God. You're in. See? Isn't that something? What a loving God to make it so simple, so easy. That's who he is. That's who he is. He sent his son to the world because he loved. For he so loved. That's what he is. Let's go to, we're going to get over to 1 John here in a minute, but I want to stop at Acts chapter 2. Because I thought about this in light of just that love. You know, Peter, on the day of Pentecost, and I just kind of saw, I don't know if I have the ability to communicate what I would like to here, but, you know, Peter had been behind closed doors for fear of the Jews. You remember that? You know, those Judeans, they were responsible for what had happened to the Lord Jesus Christ. And when Jesus Christ was resurrected, that's where he found them. And later on, even afterwards, they were still behind closed doors for fear of the Jews. Isn't that something? You know, they were lying low. Well, they saw Jesus Christ ascend, and then Jesus Christ said, "You tarry in the city of Jerusalem." And he made them a promise. "I'm going to send the promise of my Father." You know? And then that day of Pentecost, which we know to be 10 days after that, there they were. They received Spirit. They were born from above. That promise of the Father. They got it. The manifestation of that promise of the Father was that they spoke in tongues. But Peter stood up. Peter stood up. And you know, something I thought about. That which Jesus Christ had said would come to pass came to pass. That which God had promised had been promised. That's pretty exciting stuff. That is. That's real exciting stuff. But I wonder if during this time, Peter really got who God is and how much he loves. Because he looks at these people after he had held forth the word, and it says they were pricked in their hearts. And he says, "Look, the promise is unto you and to your children and to many as the Lord our God shall call." Isn't that something? You believe on him and you're going to get this too. You who crucified Jesus Christ. For Peter to say that, he got something. Isn't that something? You know, there's another record where Paul, you know, on the road to Damascus, and, you know, all we can do is read the words. I don't know what that would be like. You know, I got an inkling, but you know, to have a man who his mission was to destroy fellowships like this to come in and take us to prison. He didn't care about your kids. He didn't care. He didn't care about any of that stuff. Just haul you to prison. Have you killed. You know, Ananias got that revelation to go and minister to him and lay hands on him. Isn't that something? He had revelation and he was obedient to that revelation. You know, but I wonder if he really, really saw the incredible love of God. You know? Do you understand? It really struck me this morning, you know, thinking about some of these records, how these men just, wow, that's a loving God. Whoa. See? We never even read these verses, but I was going to read verses 38 and 39, and you can jot that down, but we're going to go ahead and go to 1 John. First John. Verse First John, there really is a wonderful context to this. In verse 1, I don't want to read all these verses, and I don't mean to teach this chapter, but in verse 1, there's a figure used. It's metonymy. The word spirit is put for what spirit produces. In using this figure, 1 John 4, verse 1, in using this figure, God is allowing you to see the cause, which is spirit. And that which spirit produces in this context are words. Okay? Believe not every spirit, but try the what? Put for that which it produces, which are words. See? The world is full of words, is it not? There are competing words. Words that compete for your heart. Words that compete for your believing. And the words of the world are in competition with the Word of God for your heart. For your thinking. Down in verse 4 it says, you are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that's in you than he that's what? In the world. They are of the world, therefore speak they of the world, and the world hears them. We are of God. He that knows God hears us. He that is not of God doesn't hear us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Okay? Again, spirit put for that which it produces. Whether it is speaking truth, the spirit of God, or another kind of spirit which produces what? Error. Causes that word error is to it's to wander like a planet, just wander. Beloved, let us who are of God, let us love one another. For, and it should read, the love is of who? Of God. And everyone that loves is born of God and knows God. And we're talking about the love, as opposed to all other kinds of love. We're going to read about the love in a minute in 1 Corinthians 13. He that loves not, he doesn't know God. He doesn't perceive. He doesn't get it. He doesn't understand God. He doesn't understand who God is. For God is what? That's what God is. He is love. Now, that is beyond what my brain cells can handle. I don't understand that. But it's the truth. God is love. I can see evidence of it at times. I have seen evidence of it in my own life. But it is so far beyond what I'm able to take in. He is love. This is what he is. This is who he is. He is love. And we are of who? Yeah. For in this was manifested the love of God toward us. Because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might what? And we read about that, didn't we? That we might live through him. That was love. For God so loved the world that he what? He gave. See? Herein is the love, is what it should read. Herein is the love. Not that we loved God, but that he what? Loved us. One was deserving of love, the other was not. And he sent his Son to be the propitiation or the atonement for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. No man has seen God at any time. No man has seen God at any time. No man has seen God at any time. Okay, got that? If we love one another, God what? Dwells in us and his love is perfected. The end for which it was intended. No man has seen any God, has seen God at any time. But if we love one another, God what? Right. And that love of God, it produces that for which it was intended. Right? That's something. And you know what the love of God intends? For all men to be saved. So when we love one another, who are people seeing? Do you understand? That's the context of this. No man's seen God at any time. If we love one another, where does God dwell? What are people seeing? You see it? Hereby know we that we dwell in him, and he in us, because he has given us of his Spirit. And again, that's put for what Spirit produces. And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwells in him and he in God. And we have known and believed the love that God has to us. Again, God is what? He is love. And he that dwells in love dwells in God and God in him. And herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. There's two days of judgment that concern us. One is today. Today. Today is man's day. Man does the judging today. There's also a future judgment. Isn't that something? And when we understand that love that God has to us, we have boldness today and in the future. Do you understand? Because that perfect love casts out fear. That's what shows people who God is. You know, we look for opportunities to speak God's word. We do. But what we really want to be looking for opportunities to do is to love people. Isn't that something? When we show them who God is. And that's to genuinely love people. Genuinely love them. That's going to take building some things in the heart. You know? Because it's easy. It's so easy to just, you know, not care. That's what the world teaches us. You just, you know, afraid to speak up, afraid to, I don't want to rock the boat. You know, we do it with one another sometimes. Right? Don't want to be that way. You know, love one another. We love one another, genuinely. And that's going to involve speaking the word. It's going to be involved speaking the word to one another, isn't it? I mean, sometimes it's just going to be shut up and pray, but sometimes it's going to involve speaking God's word, isn't it? Sure. Nothing wrong with that. We're in this together, see? And we love one another like that. That's what people see. And you know who they're going to see? See God. That's what we just read. Isn't that neat? There's no fear in love. Perfect love casts out fear, because fear has torment, and he that fears is not made perfect in love. Verse 19, we love because he first loved us. The word him isn't there. We love because he what? First loved us. See, I want to love like that. That means I need to understand that love he had for me and really get it. That love he had for me. and has for me. Because that's what he is. Isn't that cool? We're going to come back here to 1 John and close, but I just want to read, and we're not going to go through it in detail, but I just want to read it. Maybe point out one or two things. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, because it talks about the love. And it's just, it's great really to think about this and what he's saying. It's actually pretty huge. I mean, just its opening. I speak with the tongues of men and of angels. I speak with the tongues of men. What kind of power is that? That's right. That's spirit. That's the spirit of God. That's that life that Jesus Christ came to give and bring. That's a manifestation of that life. It's a big deal. But if I do it without love, and the context here is in the church, I do it without love, I'm what? And though I have prophecy and understand all mysteries, I know it all. I know all the mysteries. I have all knowledge and all believing so that I could remove mountains and have not love, I'm what? Man. See? It's a big deal, and it's a big deal in the church. Love. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, everything I have, I give it away. And I give my body to be burned. I just burn myself out in service. And I don't have charity. What do I gain from it? Nothing. How big a deal is this? You see it? Love suffers long. It's kind. It doesn't envy. Doesn't envy. Charity. It doesn't vaunt itself. It's not a braggart. It doesn't brag. It's not puffed up. The word puffed up, it's to be puffed up with pride. Typically, it'll manifest itself with arrogance. You're just arrogant. You're full of yourself, full of pride. That's not love. That's not the love of God. It doesn't behave itself dishonorably, unseemly. It's to behave yourself in a dishonorable way. And it doesn't seek her own. It's not selfish. And it's not easily provoked. It thinks no evil. Rejoices not in iniquity, but rejoices in what? Truth. Isn't that beautiful? Bears all things. That means it covers. It covers. Like a roof. It covers. World does just the opposite. World wants to expose your weakness. World wants to exploit your shortcomings. Right? Love of God. It's covered. It believes all things with regard to the truth. Hopes all things and endures all things. Charity never fails. The love of God never fails. And as wonderful as prophecies are, as wonderful as tongues are, knowledge, it'll all what? For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. What we have right now is the deposit. You know, it's the erubone, the deposit, the guarantee of what we have coming in the future. Okay. That's why it says we're confident. We're confident in this body. The reason why we're confident is because, or in this life, it's because of the deposit that we've been given in 1 Corinthians 5, or 2 Corinthians 5. one of the Corinthians. I think it's 2 Corinthians. Yeah. Isn't that something? Because of that deposit that we've been given. See? But when that which is perfect is come, that which is in part will be done away. One thing will not be done away with. The love. See? Now we see through a glass obscurely, darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, then shall I know, even as I am known. Isn't that beautiful? Now in the church, verse 13, now abides believing, hope, and love. These three, but the greatest of these is the what? The love. Charity. The love. Now let's go to 1 John again. This is great stuff to think about. Just, you know, who our God is, who our Father is, and who it is we represent. 3:1, behold. You know, behold, when you read that, it's like, chill, look, pay attention. That's what it means. Behold, what manner of love, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us. It's something. What manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us. You know, this speaks to the kind of love that God has for us, which is no strings attached. Then it says that we should be called the sons of God. Isn't that something? This speaks really to both the type and the degree of God's love, that He made us His children. We belong to God. We belong to Him. And that day will one day happen where He will dwell with us. Isn't that something? And that's what the Word says. I would think it would say, you know, we'll dwell with Him. Something. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us. Think about this. Pay attention to this. Think about this love. Think about what God's done. That we should be called the sons of God. And then it should read, and we are. And we are. Right now. Right now we're sons of God. Right now we're children of God. This isn't a future event. This is now. We've been born of what? The Spirit. Therefore the world knows us not, because it knew Him not. But now are we the sons or the children of God. And it doth not yet appear, it has not yet been revealed what we shall be. Word talks a little bit about it, but it's not been revealed. That day will come when it will be revealed. In Romans 8, the whole creation is waiting for that day. See? In Colossians, that's where our life is hid. Right? Yeah. Hadn't yet been revealed. But we know this, when he shall appear, we shall what? That's right. We shall be like Him. Philippians, we will have a body fashioned like unto His glorious body. Thessalonians, we will forever be with the Lord. See? And we shall see Him as He is. At best, right now, at best, we see through a glass obscurely. but at least we get to see. Right? We've got spirit. We've got the deposit. We got a God who loves us. He loves us no matter what. We've seen the degree to which he loves us. That's the Father we approach. He is love. He is love. That's what he is. And his word is love. His word is love. And that's where we learn about this loving God. This loving, loving, loving Father. And you are a son of God today. Today. Hadn't been fully revealed what's coming. But we can enjoy being sons of God today, can't we? Isn't that something? And when we go out into the world, that's what we want to manifest. We want to be sharp. We want to be sharp with God's word. We want to love. We want to love. See? We are fully equipped. We are fully equipped to live in this world and to handle the words of the world that are in competition for our heart and our minds. We've been equipped with the Spirit of God, and we've been equipped with God's word. And he gave us a body to fellowship in. Right? Absolutely. Amen? So, we ought to love one another. I'm going to pray. Father, thanks for your word, your love, your grace to us. For the greatness of your word and for the privilege it is to be called sons of the living God. Thank you, Father, for these things. In the name of our Lord, our returning Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.